Hey, friends. How are you guys? Dylan's in Boston today, having a grand old time. I think he toured Fenway. Is that the one that's in Boston? I think he toured that today. So he's there while we're here just learning about Jesus. So if you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, we are going to continue in our study of 1 Thessalonians. So the whole time we've been going through 1 Thessalonians, we've been learning how to live. Hey guys, make sure you're listening up here. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we've been learning how to live in light of the gospel, right? That's been our whole thesis the whole time, how to live in light of the gospel. Last week, Dylan talked about how God's will for our life is sanctification, right? So he started in chapter 4, verse 1, and talked about living a life pleasing to God. He talked about the purity of believers, the purity of your life, and what that looks like, right? And how sanctification works. And so we're going to continue talking about that today because we're still in that chapter, and it's just the continuation of that thought. So I have a quick question for you guys. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you did something that wasn't necessarily right? Maybe you used a bad word or made a bad joke or were really mean to someone or lied. And then you noticed that other people were watching. Maybe your little siblings, maybe someone who didn't know Jesus. And then you like were like, oh man, that's what they saw. And now that's how they think an older sister should act. Or that's how they think a Christian should act. I had one of those experiences one time when I was younger. I have four sisters. No, that's a lie. I have three sisters. I have two older and one younger, okay? And one time I was fighting with my older sisters and I was being really, really mean to them because I was just upset with them. You know how siblings go. And a little bit later, my little sister, who was only like three at the time, ended up being mean to my older two sisters because she had seen me act like that, right? She used the same words that I used. She maybe hit them or did whatever physical action I did at that time. And I was crushed, right? Because my sister, who was learning how to act, how to be a person, expected to act like that was the right thing to do because she was the little sister and she had seen me being a little sister act in that manner, right? It's the same way sometimes in our Christian following of Jesus, right? Paul tells the believers to be imitators as of him as he imitates God, as he imitates Christ, right? And we're called to do the same thing, imitate Christ so that people around us can imitate Christ. But if we're not living a life that looks different from the world, if we're not living this life that Paul calls a pleasing life to the Lord, how are the people that don't know Jesus going to know how countercultural Jesus' life for us is, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But if our life doesn't look new, what does that say to the people around us, right? So last week, Dylan talked about sanctification, and we're going to continue that. So let's just take a minute right here to talk about the difference between sanctification and justification, because we throw those words around all the time. They're big words, but sometimes we don't know the difference. So justification is when you are saved by Christ, right? You put your faith in him, and you are made in a right relationship with God. It's the end of it. You're saved. You don't do anything yourself. Jesus saves you. But then there's sanctification that comes after that, and that's the Spirit's work in you to make you more holy, to make you more like Christ. And it's not necessarily a fun process, it's not necessarily an easy process, and it's definitely a process that goes on and on and on, right? It's something that won't ever end this side of heaven. It won't end until Jesus comes back or until we go to heaven, right? Because we can't be made perfect on this earth, but we can let the Spirit work through us and respond in obedience so that we look more and more like Jesus, and then the people around us see Jesus through us. And that's what this whole section is about, right? At the end, it says, in verse 12, it says, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So that you may walk properly among outsiders and be dependent on no one. That's Paul's whole thesis for this section. He gives us three ways to do this, okay? So let's look at the text. It says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." So the first way he tells us to walk properly among outsiders is through brotherly love. He says, "Now concerning brotherly love." That first part, "now concerning," just goes along with the characteristics of the letters that Paul writes, right? It shows us that it's a letter. He's addressing a newish subject. It's still part of a life pleasing to God, but it's a different part of that life pleasing to God. It could mean that the Thessalonians had asked him a question about brotherly love, or it could just mean he was ready to start this new section and he decided he needed to address this topic, right? So that's all there is. It's just a little bit of education in that. But then he says, "You have been taught by God." Taught by God, that phrase, is something that's rarely used in the Bible, right? But it is used here in a couple of other places. And what it means is that you are actually taught by God, like physically taught by God. It's not necessarily like a lesson from an Old Testament story or from one of the Gospels or even from one of the apostles' writings, right? It's not something that's like written down necessarily, but like, and then you like learn it and then you go and do. But the Spirit literally dwells inside of you and teaches you to love, right? The Spirit of God dwells inside of you and teaches you to love. The Spirit inside of us unites believers so that we can have that brotherly love. It bonds us in a way that all the other barriers don't matter. Where we go to school or where we go to church or where we live or what sports teams we cheer for. It bonds us beyond that, right? Because the Spirit is God, and so he teaches us how to love. And so Paul's like, God's teaching you how to do it, but I'm still going to write about it, right? So he tells them that they're doing well at it. He tells them that they're showing brotherly love to one another. In fact, they're not only showing it within their walls of the church, they're showing it beyond their walls of the church. They're helping the Macedonians, probably the Macedonian believers. They're loving and serving them and helping them spread the gospel of Christ in a way that the Thessalonians couldn't do that on their own, right? And that's what we're called to do, is to go and love others and help them, right? Serve and love in a way that Christ would serve and love. And we can do this because we see the perfect example of brotherly love through Christ, right? His sacrificial love on the cross where he died and then was risen again, right? And then we also know that God is love. First John 4 tells us that God is love. Like, literally, he is love. If you want to know what love is, it's God. And so we can love because of that. Also, Jesus tells us to love our brother, to love our neighbor as ourself. So we can love because we're taught by God, but we're also told by God to love, right? So our love should go. It should go beyond just the walls. We should love one another. We should be kind and gracious to one another and not gossip or slander one another or cause divisions among one another, but it should also go beyond our walls, and we should love the other brothers and the other sisters in Christ, and then we should also love those that don't know Christ, right? And this is something that Paul tells them to do more and more. And so you might be like, but Paul already told them they were doing a pretty good job, they were loving the Macedonians, so how can they do it more? Well, Christ's love for us is infinite, right? We see that because he is Christ and then also God the Father. Their love is infinite because they're God, and so they're perfect at loving. And so if we're supposed to be sanctified, if we're supposed to be made more like Christ, then we can always love more and more, right? Love more sacrificially, serve more, love in a way that Jesus loves, because Jesus ushers in this paradigm called the already not yet paradigm, right? So it means whenever he comes and he lives on the earth, he brings in and about part of the prophecies. He brings in and about part of like the goodness of the kingdom, but it's not completely here yet, right? So he's already defeated death, we know that, but that we won't see sin end until he comes back, right? So that already not yet, which means we won't see love being perfected completely until he comes back. So therefore, we can learn to love more and more. We're never going to be perfect at loving the sight of heaven. And that's part of our sanctification process, which also means we have to love those within our church and outside of our church that are hard to love. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and we're also, so that means we're supposed to love those that are hard to love. So I ask you to, as we leave tonight, we're not finished yet, that we're just through love, to look inside your hearts, ask the Spirit to show you who you're not loving properly or in what ways you can love better. Maybe it's your brothers and sisters here. Maybe you're being mean to one another. Or maybe it's people at your school. Or maybe it's your parents that you're not loving well. Because did you know that if you're a believer and your parents are believers, they're your brother or sister in Christ too? And so you're supposed to love in a brotherly way because the Spirit teaches you how to do that, right? So ask the Spirit to show you who is hard to love. But then we go on to live a quiet life and mind your business, right? So Paul tells us to love each other and increase and abound in that love. But then we're supposed to live a quiet life and mind our own business. So with the Thessalonians, they were super concerned about the return of Christ, right? They thought the day of the Lord was super imminent, that Jesus was going to come back at any time. So they all quit their jobs and they were just hanging out. And they got, the longer that they went without a job and without Christ coming back, the more and more bored they got, right? They didn't have anything to do because they weren't working. So what they did was started getting tangled up in everyone's affairs. And that just led to them being busybodies. And they started spreading rumors and they started gossiping. And they started just not being very nice to one another because they didn't really have anything else to do. And Paul is telling the Thessalonians right here that is not what they were called to do. That is not the love they were called to be loving towards, right? And I feel like we do that today too. Don't we sometimes just decide to make up rumors about others? Or maybe someone tells us something and we're not supposed to tell anyone else, but then we think it's really funny to go and tell lots of other people and then make fun of them in that. Or maybe we just really like to cause drama, so we just literally make up stuff and spread it around and it spreads like wildfire. And then instead of paying attention to what the Lord is telling us at church, we're paying attention to what our friends are telling us about a different person, right? That is not living a quiet life. That is not minding our own business. And that is being disobedient unto the Lord because he has called us to do that, right? So we are supposed to live in community with one another. We are supposed to love one another well and bear one another's burdens and rejoice and weep and confess sins to one another. But we are not supposed to slander and we are not supposed to gossip and we are not supposed to make up rumors about our brothers and sisters in Christ or just anyone, even if they're not our brother and sister in Christ, even if they're non-believers, right? We're not supposed to do that. And then the third way he tells us to walk properly before outsiders is by our work, to work with our hands, right? So these people, these Thessalonians, had quit their jobs and were waiting for the return of Christ, and they were just being lazy, let's be real. But also, in this culture, not working was a sign of wealth, right? Like, if you figured out how to not do manual labor and instead just got to, like, hang out and, like, think about things, that was a sign that you were, like, higher class and that, like, if you were doing manual labor or any kind of work, that you were probably from the lower class or you were poor, right? And so this is even another way in which we are called to be countercultural as Christians, right? Which means we do opposite of what the world is telling us to do. And we see that even in this ancient Greek culture, that Christianity calls us to be different, right? But you might be saying to me, you might be sitting there, Maddie, I'm in 7th and 8th grade. I don't have a job. I don't have to, like, sustain myself. Like, my parents are here for that, or someone else is here for that. Like, how does this even pertain to me? Well, I'm here to tell you that it does, because the Bible is living and active, and it instructs even believers who don't have jobs, because you know what? we're called to do everything as if we're serving the Lord, right? We're called to do everything without grumbling and complaining and to work hard. So that means that even if you don't have a job right now, your job is school and or activities and or housework, you know, whatever falls under your responsibilities, that's what you're supposed to be working hard at and not being a drain to those around you. Which means at school, you're supposed to work hard, maybe study for your tests instead of just like expecting other people to study for your tests and then like cheating off of them and lying about it. Or if you don't do your work and then you like cheat off of someone else and then turn it in, that's you not working hard and being lazy. And that's the opposite of what we are called to do, right? The Lord calls us to work. Even from the beginning, work was a part of God's plan for us, right? We see God work 6 days and then rest, and then we see God create man because there was no man to work the field. That's what Genesis 2 tells us. So it was before even the fall that work was a part of our story for man, right? And so we are called to do that. So he calls us to love, and he calls us to increase in our love. And then he calls us to live a quiet life and mind our own affairs. And then he calls us to work with our hands. Paul tells us to do these three things so that we may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent upon no one. So we as a church, we as believers, tend to have a really hard time at learning how to not compartmentalize our lives, right? So we go to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and that's our church. That's where Jesus is. And then we go to school Monday through Friday, and we are at school, and that's school. And then we like have activities on the weekends or in the afternoons, and that's our activities. But Jesus doesn't come out in any of those. Our own self, our old creation, comes out in those, and that's how we live, right? But Jesus here tells us that we are supposed to share the gospel of Christ through our actions everywhere we go. We're supposed to let the Lord rule in our lives through all, right? He's the Lord of all, and we are supposed to show that. From the very beginning of time, teaching and proclaiming the gospel and actually saying the words about Christ was the plan, right? You are supposed to speak the gospel. You can't just live a good life and hope people see the gospel through you. But if you are not living a life according to God, if you are not living a life pleasing to God, people aren't going to believe the word you say, that Christ can make all things new. Now hear me when I say these three things and all of the things that Dylan has talked about are good things, but they're not good things just on their own. You can't do better at loving or living a quiet life or working hard. You can't do better at those to like save yourself. No, you can't do any of those more and more and more so that you can be saved, right? Jesus is the only one who saves. That's it. Faith in Jesus is the only way into God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But once you are saved, we are called to be a good steward of the resources that he has given us. We are called to live a life pleasing God, right? We are called to be holy. And then we are called to go and tell others about Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Right? You're supposed to proclaim his excellencies and what he's done in your life and what he's done on the cross, right? But you are also supposed to live in a way that makes it look like you are part of that holy nation, that royal priesthood, right? You are supposed to be holy. So as we leave here tonight, hear me when I say, these works do not save you. Jesus saves you. But obedience is the natural response to the salvation through Christ. So as we leave, I want you to ask through the week, not necessarily right now, but ask the Spirit to show you maybe how you can love better, maybe who you aren't loving in the right or proper manner, or maybe ways in which you aren't leading a quiet life, ways in which you're spreading lies and gossip and rumors about one another, or maybe ways in just which you're being flat out lazy. And ask him to convict you of those things, and then ask him to show you how to overcome those things, right? Because we do not have to do this on our own. We can't do sanctification on our own. That only comes through the Spirit, but we have to be obedient to the Spirit. Okay, that's part of our sanctification. And then we are to go and spread the gospel with other people. So that's all I have for you guys tonight. You'll break up into your small groups after I pray, okay? Father, you are good to us, and we praise you for that. I ask, Lord, that you show us how to live a life pleasing to you. Let us know that we don't have to do this on our own, that the Spirit works through us. But God, help us be obedient to what the Spirit is telling us to do. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.